Thank you.
Can I hug you?
Yeah, sure. All right, thank you. Hey, what's happening? It's good to see you. This is wonderful to be here. You know, I've been knowing this guy for like 3 weeks or so. And I don't know if what you say about that, either he's just a crazy dude or, you know, just trusting this guy that he's never met. Say, yeah, why don't you come to my church and preach? So I hope that I won't disappoint him or disappoint you. But God is good. And it's really wonderful to be here today. I brought my wife, Emily, is right over there. And also Alexis is our worship intern. And I have Danielle and Brent Cannon as also part of what launched him there. Actually, Brent was my best man in my wedding about 15 years ago. So So anyway, I'm grateful to be here. The Lord is such a good God. And just how we were able to even meet Ryan and Chad was just an incredible thing. I met a guy in Orlando. His name is Larry. We were waiting. Maybe this is too much information, but we're going to the bathroom. It was a conference. I gotta tell you it all, right? You gotta know what happened. So we were waiting online to go to the bathroom, and so I meet Larry, and he says, "Hey, my name is Teddy. I'm from California." And he says, "California where?" I said, "Fullerton." He's like, "Oh, I'm from Santa Ana." So we exchanged our phone numbers, and we were able to call, to say, "Okay, let's meet up when we get home, and just find out what's going on," because he's into church planting and training leaders and all that. And we just felt like that would be a good connection to have. So months went by. We really never really got an opportunity to connect with Larry. And then I think about 4 weeks ago, so he says, "Hey, I'm teaching at a luncheon with pastors and church planters. Would you like to come out?" And I said, "Sure, a free lunch. I'll be there." So I was there, and that's how I met Chad and Ryan. And so then a week later, I got a call. "Hey, we have a series in worship, and our lead pastor has some issues going on, and I think you should come in and fill in and say, you know, because we love church plants and we want to be a support for you as a church planter as well." And I said, "I'll be there. I'll be honored. I'm humbled to be here today. It is not by accident that I'm here today to be able to share with you together and just talk about worship." So I'm from Kenya. So some of you maybe are aware, I'm from Kenya. I was born there, raised there until I was about 25. I met an American white lady, and then to cut the story short there, I was in college. She came out for a student exchange program. She was at Westmont College in Santa Barbara. And so we met in a school college bus. We started talking. She started asking me too many questions. And I was wondering, who is this lady? Why do you want to know me so much about me? But anyway, I tried to answer as many questions as she had. And a year later, we kind of dated this long-distance thing. It was terrible. We didn't have Facebook or, you know, FaceTime, all those kind of things back in those days, you know. Like 2000. You know, Facebook seems like it's been around for a long time. No, it hasn't. You know, like 15 years ago, 16 years ago, that was a non-existent thing. So to call her, I had to dial like 21 digits. And then if you forget a number, you have to start all over again. It was such a frustrating thing. But we made it through a year. And after a year, I came out to the States here and were able to connect again, meet the family and all that. So I was in high school for a semester. And I was able to get to know the family, meet her friends, and get to know a little bit of the States. It was kind of almost like a bait and switch, because when I came out, I was in Santa Barbara, like mansions and huge homes and all this. Like, wow, America is pretty incredible. Yeah, then I came down here and I was like, oh. But overall, all that, so we got married in 2004. And so we have three beautiful, I have a picture somewhere. Is it going to show up? No, it didn't show up. I just wanted to introduce it to my kids and all that. But probably you'll see them after the service eventually here. I have three kids, a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 4-year-old. So we are a busy family, and apparently God felt like this was the right time for us to plant a church in Fullerton. So we're excited about this opportunity. I've been serving at a church, as Pastor Ryan talked about, in a friend's community church in Brea. And so I've been there. I started as an intern, just kind of playing the guitar in the background there and just kind of observing and learning and all that. And so as the days went by, the Lord opened more opportunities to continue to serve this church. So I've been there about 15 years. I've been leading worship for over 25 years, started doing that in Kenya. And so I've been leading worship at this church in about 14 years. My last Sunday to lead worship was this past Easter. And I was also in charge of missions and in charge of outreach and online communications and all that stuff. So, you know, churches, always sometimes, many times you wear so many hats. But it's been an incredible opportunity to learn, to grow, to develop. And I believe that the Lord has given me those opportunities so that I'll be able to be at this moment, at this time, to be able to be ready to plant this new church. So we are looking into launching in 2020 here in February 2020 in Fullerton. And so we're excited. We have about, we already have a team that we are working with, about 40 adults and about 30 or so kids if they all show up. And so it's kind of, we are really excited just to see what the Lord has been doing. We've been meeting since June. And so we meet now every Sunday evenings at our ascending church. And just an opportunity to talk about our mission, our vision, and our core values and what God is calling us to in this new city that we'll be going to. So we are talking through those elements and making sure that we are all on the same page. And so really, really an opportunity to be able to get to know each other, because a majority of us, in as much as they went or they go into the same church, most of them never really knew who each other was. So some of them are like, oh, you go to this church too? Yeah, all right. So it's been a great opportunity just to see how the Lord has been building community and all that. So it's been really a wonderful opportunity, and we're really looking forward to seeing what the Lord is going to do in the city of Fullerton here in a couple months. So I was asked to kind of talk about just the concept of worship. I love worship. I said I've been a worship leader for almost 25 years. I know some of you are wondering, how old is this guy? It's like 25 years, no? Did you start leading worship right when you were born? Yeah, pretty much. No, I have been around this world for some time. So I'm 41, and so I've been around for a little bit. And so I'm grateful for that. And so I was asked to be able to talk about just how worship unifies. The worship unifies because it's this universal language that the Lord has given you and I. That when we gather here, when we gather in this place, we are able to sing these songs. We are able to pray with one another. We are able to encourage one another. We are able to see each other and be an encouragement to each other. It's this universal language that God has given all human beings, whether in Africa, in Asia, in Europe, South America, in Long Beach here, all over. That, you know, I can walk into even just a church that probably I don't even speak a language that they speak, but because they're worshiping God, I'll fit right in. It's so funny, in Kenya, actually, we would sing songs from other countries. We didn't really even know what they were saying, but because we just knew they were worshiping God, it just felt right to be able to sing those kind of songs. And it's just really one of those interesting elements when you think about worship, that God created in us this longing. God created in us this longing and desire that cannot be quenched by anything else other than by us seeking and being able to magnify and honor and glorify his holy name. There's this God-shaped hole in each and every one of us that all that what can really fill is God. And so when we talk about corporate worship, I feel like corporate worship brings unity. When we gather together, it brings unity. And when you think unity, we're not talking about conformity, that we all have to sing in a certain way, or we all have to dress in a certain way, or we don't have to clap in a certain way, or if it's moved to the right, everybody's going, all right, everybody in a certain way. If you're going to smile in this place, you've got to do it in a certain way. No, but when I talk about unity, I think it's the concept of celebrating God's diversity and God's creativity. I think that's when I think about just what worship does in our midst. That's what I look at it as, is that corporate worship brings unity. And we think about unity, it's not conformity, but I think it's celebrating God's creativity and God's diversity. So corporate worship is nothing more and nothing less than a representation of the gospel in the presence of God and God's people for his glory and their good. There's a writer here by Bob Coughlin that says that corporate worship is nothing more and nothing less than a representation of the gospel in the presence of God and God's people for his glory and their good. When you think about that, it's a representation of the gospel. We all have a story. You and I have encountered the gospel in different ways. And this is why it unifies, because we bring all our stories and our encounters with the gospel to this place. It's such a beautiful representation. And because if we gave each other an opportunity, we have this tradition which is kind of lost in the friends' churches. It's called an open worship, where when we gather, we give people opportunities to be able to share what the Lord has been doing in their lives for that week so that we can all celebrate. But I think if we were given an opportunity today to say, tell me your story, what has the Lord been doing? It is such a beautiful representation to see what God has done in my life and what God has done in your life. It's probably taking different routes, but it is just amazing to see that this God actually is working and doing incredible things in our lives. That it's this representation, that corporate worship, is this representation of the gospel in the presence of God and God's people for his glory and for your good and for my good. So we gather to remind one another whose we are, and how we got here, and why it matters. We don't just come here to hang out, eat donuts, and drink coffee, right? We come here because we know that we're here for a bigger purpose. We know that we are here because of what Jesus, of what Christ has done in your life and in my life. And this is a wonderful representation to be able to gather here today and be able to celebrate that and exalt our God and magnify his holy name. So how do we see unity across a church? I think that we can only see unity across the church when we gather to worship, when we start thinking more about the other person. A writer by the name of Brian Chappell says this: making God the exclusive goal of worship sounds very reverent, but actually fails to represent Scripture's own gospel priority. Certainly, it is true that God is the most important audience member for our worship. But if God were not concerned for the good of his people, his glory would be diminished. God expects us not only to praise his name, but also teach, admonish, and encourage one another in worship. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 27 to 25 says this: and let us consider then how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Paul is encouraging whoever wrote the book of Hebrews here. I know the scholars debated. Is it Paul? Is it somebody else? It doesn't matter. The words are great anyway. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another. We can only spur one another when we gather, right? We can only encourage one another towards good deeds when we gather together, when we come together. And he says, no, we need to gather together and not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, even as we see that the day of the Lord approaching here. He says again that, you know, when we gather here, we sing, we pray, we give offerings, we confess our faith, we greet one another, we teach and admonish each other. We exercise our spiritual gifts. We hear God's word proclaimed and taught, and we participate in the sacraments. Sure, you can decide to do some of these things on your own, but oh, my friends, that would be such a boring life. Could you imagine just home by yourself, just singing, you know? Huh? Just you, and then you take your wallet out, here's my offering. You know, and then greet yourself and say, hi, Teddy. Yeah, hey, that's so good to see you today. How boring would that be, right? But God has given us this opportunity to be here. He says, you know, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And in Ephesians 5:19, he continues the same kind of idea, says, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Speaking to one another. To one another. I think there's over 50 or 60 one another's when you kind of start looking for those in just the letters that Paul wrote. Because it's important that when we gather here, it's not about you. That if you gather here, think about the other person. Think about your neighbor. Think about that person sitting next to you. Think about that kid that normally comes around. Think about somebody else other than just you. Think about those guys. You know, it says there that always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Colossians 3, 12 to 14, he says this again. Paul continues encouraging the church in Colossae here. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. For us to experience unity as a church, as we worship together, our mind has to shift from being just selfish. I'm just coming here just to have a moment. You know, I really love worship. I just want to come and enjoy. It's just about me and me and me. I want us to try to think about a little shift to our minds a little, which I'm going to expound a little bit more about what this would look like, to think about the other person. Think about the other member of Soundhouse Church. And I will talk more a little bit about that in a few moments here. One of the concepts, one of your core values is about being generationally minded. I love that. Because if you think about even some of the songs that we sing, it's because the generations before us passed them on to us today. So we need to be SOB taking this seriously. And I love that you're going to bring in all your kids eventually in your nights of worship. So many times we tend to send the kids away. Yeah, you go do your thing there. We'll do our thing over here, you know. But I think that will be a beautiful way for you as adults as well to model how to worship, to model how to serve, to model how to work together as adults. And when the kids see that, that's how they learn. That's how they grow in that opportunity, which I really love that, to be able to just to pass on that concept of just, you know, as a church, when we worship together intergenerationally, I think it's a powerful thing for us to be able to do. The other concept that I was going to talk about here today is that when we worship together as church, as a church, and now here I'm going to kind of shift a little bit to as a city, unity that would across our city, how can we be able to see that happen? And Ryan mentioned a little bit here about just, wouldn't it be amazing if churches didn't fight? Now, it's even funny to say that actually churches don't like each other. But how would it be if our churches here in Long Beach, for example, came and worked together for the good of the city? What kind of a testimony would that be to this city if our churches came together and said, we're going to gather together and worship together. We're going to gather together and serve together. You actually know the other word for definition for worship is serving. You know, how would that look like if Soundhouse Church and any other church that is around here were able to come together and say, we'll put aside all our little things here inside and just say, because of the good of the city, we'll come together and serve this city for the glory of God in Jesus' name. I think it would be a beautiful thing. And when the world sees that, they'll be amazed, like, oh, this is incredible. It's good that Soundhouse and now Friends Church Fullerton, we have a bond. So we're going to, you know, that bond in Fullerton and now in Long Beach, I hope that we can bring in more churches in there, in that group. And I think the more we do that together, I think the more heaven will be experienced in this world. We tend to be very territorial with our churches, and this is an incredible testimony to your leadership here to be able to allow a Kenyan guy to just come out and speak to you. We got to be open-handed with what the Lord has given us. That is the only way for us to have an impact. If we are close-fisted with the giftings that our God has given us, we will not experience the blessings that Christ wants us to experience. Whatever gifting that God has given you, hold it with open hands. And I think I'm going to steal this idea. Every fifth Sunday at our church, we're going to have either a church planter or somebody, other pastor in that community, or probably Ryan or Chad, to come out and bless our congregation. Because I think it's such a beautiful thing, yeah. It is when we worship together, even as churches in the city, that those walls are broken down and the Spirit of God alerts us and opens our eyes to see the people in our community. And only to see the people in our community, but also to be able to see the needs of the people in our community and be able to go and act in Jesus' name. Jesus says these words here in John chapter 13. That a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone, I added some words there. Have you been saying? Yeah. By this, everyone, your neighbor, the city, the world, will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If churches took this seriously, I know we're supposed to love one another here. That's important. But also, by the way, we got to start here. Before we invite another church, we have to do the loving thing here first. Because if this is not working here, it's not going to work out there. So we got to start at home before we go out there. So we got to love each other. We got to love one another and then invite the other churches and collaborate with the other churches and so that we can love even the other churches. And the more we love the other churches, I think the more impact you and I can have in this world. But if we're all just stuck in our old territories and just kind of do our thing here and the other churches, we're all building the same kingdom, right? We're all on the same team. For some reason, we just feel like our church can always do things better than the other church. He said, I'm a thumb, which I like, and he said he's a pinky. So and the other guys, you know, we all have different things. There are things that you have that I don't have. There are things that I have that you don't have. But if we come together, when we bring all that you have and all that I have, I think we can be an unstoppable force. And so my encouragement is that even as Soundhouse Church, would we try to see what other partnerships can we have in Long Beach? What other churches can we even bring together in our community here and work together for the betterment of this city? Jeremiah was talking a kind of concept that I've really enjoyed. He talks about that. Take care of the welfare of the city. And when the city is doing well, we all benefit. When the city is doing well, we'll all benefit. So that's my encouragement for her. A friend of mine introduced me to this concept of prayer walks. So every morning I wake up around 5:30. He's an old guy, so he wakes up early. And so he's made me wake up so early. 5:30, I got to be out there with him hanging out. And so what do? We just walk around the city for about an hour. We just walk around and we pray. We observe, we see what's going on. We see what's happening in our city. And we pray on those different things. As I think about Fullerton, where we're going to be planting a church, we pray over that city. That might be a good thing to do even as a church. Maybe one these days, just walk around Long Beach with a couple other churches and just pray for the city. As you walk around, you're starting to see things. You start to see different kind of things. When you're walking around, when you're observant, and when you're in tune with the Lord, you start seeing different kind of things. Worshiping together, I think, will be important. You know, just invite other churches together and just do this thing together. Serving together is something that I've already talked about there. And also just, you know, sharing the pulpit. This is amazing. This is incredible that I have this opportunity here today to be able to share with Soundhouse Church. And I hope to return the favor here in a few months. And the Lord is good. And the other concept here as we continue, you know, I mean, my third point here is that unity, worship brings unity across the world. As I was thinking about this point here, I wondered, have you ever wondered how heaven is like? I was talking a little bit about with our launch team this past week about the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus says that, you know, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're saying, God, how can we bring heaven in Fullerton? How can that concept be a reality in the city of Fullerton? And I was wondering this concept, that what is heaven like? And I'm sure we all have different ideas of what heaven is like. But as I was thinking about worship and heaven and all this concept, Revelation 7, 9 to 10 kind of came to mind. And John says that after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, tribe, people and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. When was the last time you thought of Christians in a different continent or even different context? Imagine this. In the last 24 or so hours, Churches have been meeting almost all over the world, just gathering and worshiping. And I think sometimes we forget just how incredible that is. You know, that there were churches in Kenya, in Africa, that were meeting, and when we were asleep, and they were worshiping Jesus. And when we're walking up here, here we are, we're gathering. I think in Hawaii, some of them are still sleeping. We'll be waking up in a few hours, and they're going to be gathering. So there's always this continual gathering of people just worshiping our God and our Savior. When was the last time you had an opportunity to think about other people worshiping in other continents or even other worlds? Because worship is this universal language that the Lord has given us. I think I want to encourage us to think and pray about the persecuted church. Think about the other churches that, you know, they don't have the freedom to just come and gather with no worries that somebody might walk in and do some crazy thing. We have that freedom in the U.S. to be able to just gather freely and worship our God and Savior. And I think worship will unify us globally if you and I intentionally think about those other churches. Now you have no excuse not to think about the Kenyan church, because now you know a Kenyan, right? Yeah, you have no excuse. Let's not wait till heaven to experience the every nation and every tribe and every people. Let's start it right now. Let's figure out ways as churches to be able to be aware of the people in Long Beach, to celebrate the different cultures in Long Beach, to be able to celebrate all the diversity that we have around us. Let's find opportunities to be able to do that. Or even a challenge for our worship team. Let's figure out a ways to be able to even infuse in some interesting songs from our culture here. I think that would be fantastic to be able to celebrate that together as a community. So we are not just so focused on just our own. I like the idea of always being kingdom-minded. Think about what other churches are doing. Think about what other nations are doing and being able to bring that in and celebrate that together. Because I think when we think about the kingdom of God, it's not just Long Beach, right? It's Long Beach, it's Fullerton, it's Brea, then it goes, it's Europe, it's Canada, it's South America, it's Asia, it's all over the places. So let's figure out to have a view, that kind of a wild view, that when we gather every Sunday morning, that we'll have a moment to say, Lord, thank you for giving us this opportunity. And thank you that there are so many other people in this world that are gathering and worshiping you, our God and our Lord Almighty. So then as I finish up here today, if worship is important, if gathering is important, if you care for your fellow Soundhouse sister and brothers, I want to recommend a few things for us this morning. And maybe this could be some good things to talk about in your small groups this week. I want to encourage you to think about this, that I will commit to showing up on time when we come to gather on Sunday mornings. By the way, when a Kenyan is telling you to show up on time, you know you got a problem. Kenyans, you say it's 9 o'clock, 9:45, it's still 9. But this is why I say it's important that when we gather together, show up on time and be ready for the Lord to do something incredible. Because if you show up on time, it tells your leaders that you are actually intentionally thinking about being here, that you're actually looking forward to being in this place. Sunday should be the best day of the week because you're coming to gather with the redeemed, you're coming to gather and encounter God in an incredible way together. When you show up late, the worship team doesn't like it very much. And sometimes they're like, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, right? And then you hear somebody tapping your shoulder. Hey, could I move? Could I squeeze in? So then I'm like, oh man, I was like in the moment. Come on, bro, what's happening? No, we gotta show up in time and be ready to have an encounter together. You know, we're walking into the Holy of Holies. The worship team is ushering us in into God's presence. And so when we are not here on time, in a way that we miss out. We just miss out. So I hope that we will commit to show up on time for our gathering so we are not distracting other people that are already. I can say this because I won't be here next Sunday, right? I'm going to leave you with all this stuff to sort out. Will you commit to pray that every time I come, the Lord, I'll pray to hear and encounter God through his people. That God is always at work in this place. So are you ready to receive? That when we come into the Lord's place, that we'll always have that desire that God, I'm coming here today and I long and desire to have an encounter with you. And not only with you, but with the people that you've also brought in this place. I will commit to be able to pray that I'll have that encounter. Because God is always doing something among us, and we need to be aware of that. And thirdly there, that we will come prepared. Is that what I have as a third thing? That we'll be prepared before we show up to service. A while ago, I was talking to our church in Brand. I just said, you know, being prepared is one of the things as simple as going to bed early on Saturday so that you're ready for this encounter, you know? Before you come, Jesus also says, you know, if you have a grudge with somebody, do not bring your offering into the house of the Lord. Go sort it out. So there's this concept again of thinking about the other person. Are there some issues you need to sort out before you come and gather with the people? Go sort it out before you come. That is being prepared. And it's being prepared. It's kind of taking time to pray for your pastors. It's taking time to pray for the worship team. It's taking time to pray for the kids that as they gather, as they go to their classes, that the lessons that they have, that today, that God is going to have an impact in them. You know, being generationally minded again. That we'll be praying for the community, that as people walk into these doors, when they gather here with us, that they'll have an encounter with the living God. You need to be prepared before you walk into this place. I know, especially with parents, with little kids, I know that can be a challenge sometimes, but you can do it. You can make it. You can do it. Just to be prepared. Because when you're prepared, you're ready. You're like, Lord, I'm here. I'm opening my heart. I'm ready to receive from you. Will you commit to serve one another? This is that concept that I talked about, that we're going to talk a little bit about more here. That the gathered church was never meant to be a spectator event. We're not just supposed to come here and just kind of watch the worship team do their thing. And then your pastor comes up here and just kind of shares. And then, all right, it's good to see you all. And we'll see you next Sunday. I think we're supposed to think about one another. Is there somebody before you come on a Sunday morning that you can pray for by name and say, Lord, today, I want to pray for Luke. That's the only name I kind of remember now. They just want to pray for Luke, that today as he comes to Soundhouse, that God, would you have an encounter with him? I want to pray for Brian. I don't know if there's a Brian. For Tom, for Jacob, there's always a Bob in every church. Do we have a Bob in here? But there's intentionally praying for people. And that's how we serve one another. You know? And when we come early, you have an opportunity to hear a story or two and say, how was your week? And when you hear these stories, they're an encouragement. They're an encouragement to praise God because of what he has done, or it's an opportunity to be able to pray for this brother or sister because of a situation that he's been going through. Because sometimes we go through tough weeks. And when we show up to church, probably we are not ready to clap our hands and dance around and jump around. But if I met you and talked to you before service and heard your story and gave you a hug and prayed with you, I think you're in a very better place to be able to worship God freely. So let's think about opportunities. So as you're coming to church next Sunday, think about how can I be thinking of somebody else to make their experience better in this place. And then that will also flow out to even the other people that do not know Christ. If you're able to meet with them and give them just a good welcome into a church, I think that love, that experience will really make a difference in how they interact with this community here. And then lastly, there is that we will commit to seek to respond to God. We are missing the point of gathering together if we see it as an end in itself. The songs we sing, the sermons we hear, the fellowship we share are all meant to prepare us for living each day for the glory of God. Let me say that again. That the songs we sing, the sermons we hear, and the fellowship that we share with one another are all meant to to prepare us for living each day for the glory of God. And I hope that these words have been encouraging to us today. I hope that the Lord has spoken to you today, because I believe so strongly that every time His people gather, He's always here and He's always speaking to you and I. I think the question is, are we always ready to hear what He has to say? One thing that I always do at the end of my message is to ask these three questions. What is God saying to you today? Just as we've spoken about these different concepts of what worship does for a community, what is God saying to you specifically as an individual here this morning? And I just want to give you a moment to just think about that. And I think so many times when we think about God speaking, we always wait for this voice. Hey, Ryan, this is the Lord that is speaking to you right now. No, probably it was just a smile that somebody gave you this morning. Probably it was just a hug that somebody gave you today. Somebody was just a hello. Probably just a few words that I have said, so many words. Probably just a word that I spoke today that just touched your heart. That's how the Lord speaks. I think sometimes we miss out because we're looking for lights and thunder and all that for the Lord to speak through all that. But it's always just through ordinary daily encounters that you and I have. So what is the Lord saying to you this morning? As Soundhouse Church as well, what is the Lord saying to you this morning? So take a second or two and just think about that. And so then if the Lord is speaking, then what are you going to do about it? Because it would be really silly if He speaks and we just, yeah, that was nice. But we got to do something about it. That's what discipleship is all about, following Jesus. When He says, let's go, we go. So what are you going to do about it? As an individual, in what the Lord is speaking to you this morning, what are you going to do about it? And how can we help? How can the pastors and leaders, or even just the church in general, help you do or accomplish that which God is calling you to accomplish this morning? Let's pray together. Father, You are a good God. Thank You for this wonderful community here this morning. Thank You for an opportunity, Lord, to be able to fellowship with each one of them, God. You are so good. You're wonderful. You are worthy. You long that our community be a community that is full of love for You and for one another. So would You teach us, God, to be a people that are mindful of each other here, to be mindful of those that are in this city, to be mindful of those, God, in this world, because we are in this together, Lord, as we are kingdom-minded. I pray that, Father, You enable Soundhouse Church, God, to lead the way in just a way, Father, to be really minded about the city and about just Your kingdom in all over this place, Lord. Lord, we are thankful for the opportunity and just this connection that Friends Church Fullerton and Soundhouse has, God, and we are just grateful, Lord God, for this wonderful friendship that is starting here, Lord. I pray for many blessings upon this community. I pray, Lord God, just for your power to be manifested in this place, that this will be a house, God, that when people walk in, there'll be freedom, there'll be joy, there'll be peace, there'll be growth, God, and we're just grateful and we honor You, God. I pray for Ryan and his leadership here. I pray, Lord God, for Your anointing upon his life and as he continues to lead this community, God, into deeper, God, just knowledge of You, God. Father, we are thankful for Your faithfulness, for Your love, for Your grace, and Your honor, God. So as we go our ways this week, Lord, remind us often to think of one another. Remind us often to pray for one another. Remind us often to be an encouragement to one another, because that's what You're calling us to, God. We honor You, we adore You, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Fantastic.